All right, we are back, and it is time to talk CONCACAF. And as usual, there's no shortage of excitement going on in CONCACAF. There are three different qualifications going on. The World Cup qualifying draw was recently conducted, and there are nations in the FIFA series. It's anything you could name going on in CONCACAF, it is happening this window.
CONCACAF is where it's at.
It is never a dull moment in CONCACAF, that is for sure.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to start it off with the World Cup qualifying draw that took place. It was interesting because we had talked in the past, particularly about Curacao, and how close they were to getting to pot one. They scheduled some friendlies. They drew twice. They needed one win. But ultimately, CONCACAF never actually revealed whether the FIFA rankings from November were going to be used in determining the pots, which I thought was interesting. They did in the end. Curacao ended up missing out on pot one by, I think it was 0.02 points or 0.03 points, right behind Haiti.
Yeah.
I think they got a favorable draw, but I mean, it's just unbelievable how close they came to ultimately getting into the top pot.
Yeah. And what's weird about that is then they end up in the same group.
Exactly. Exactly. As luck would have it. Who knows what would have happened had they ended up in the first pot, but yeah, I think it's totally, totally fair. Six groups are drawn. We're going to have two playoff teams unknown. They're going to play this window, actually. And two of those teams are going to be eliminated from World Cup qualifying already, which is unbelievable. We've seen it in AFC. We're going to see it in CONCACAF now, this window. And the draw, I think things ended up relatively fair. You know, I am critical of the FIFA rankings, I would say more often than not. But I do think that at least shifting to this new system that they've had in place for, you know, 6 years now, I think things are starting to get to the point where the pots and the teams are ordered reasonably. I think the rankings are still a little bit too slow to react, where, you know, as teams are winning a few games here or there, they don't really move up the rankings all that much. But looking at the groups and how things shook out, it feels like the groups are reasonably balanced. Do you think there's any group amongst the six that you would call a group of death in looking at how things shook out?
Yeah, Group E probably for me would be the group of death, because you've got so let's run. I'll run down the groups real quick. So in Group A, you've got Honduras, Antigua and Barbuda, Cuba, Bermuda, and the Cayman Islands. In Group B, Costa Rica, Trinidad and Tobago, St. Kitts and Nevis, Grenada, and the Bahamas. Group C, Haiti, Curacao, St. Lucia, Barbados, and Aruba. Group D, Panama, Nicaragua, Guyana. But that's definitely, you can make an argument for Group D too, as group of death.
Yeah.
Montserrat and Belize. Group E, Jamaica, Guatemala, Dominican Republic, Dominica, and then the winner of one of these playoffs this window, either the British Virgin Islands or the U.S. Virgin Islands. And then in Group F, you've got El Salvador, Suriname, Puerto Rico, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and then either Turks and Caicos or Anguilla. So, yeah, for me, I would say Group E is a group of death, but I think you can make an argument for Group D also.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Group E is tough, and I think the team that sticks out is probably a team we've talked about more recently, I would say more than any other CONCACAF team, is the Dominican Republic.
Yes.
And there are crazy things going on at the Dominican Republic that I know you're excited about.
Oh yeah, it's been a really good month for Dominican Republic fans. So, if you're a Leeds supporter or if you know of Junior Firpo, he has played in Spain. He decided that he's finally time to represent the Dominican Republic. So they're adding him into the mix, and I think instantly, as you and I were kind of talking about, I think he becomes probably the third best left back in CONCACAF, right? And so it's huge. It's an instant boost for the team. They've also brought in Noam Baumann from Ofi. That's the big club in Crete. But they play in the Greek league. He's doing well there. And yeah, I mean, there's even more names that are being thrown about all the time, including one who I think everybody would be just gaga over and who they've really been pushing for a long, long time, and that's Mariano Diaz. And if rumors are to be believed, there's a chance he might be there in June. I think he's seen the effort that the Federation has gone through to elevate the squad, and yeah, I don't know. It's all very much up in the air. There's been nothing official, so it's all speculation at this point in terms of Mariano Diaz. But man, if they land him, that's
huge.
It's huge. I mean, Real Madrid player, for those of you who don't know, like, just it's insane. He was a former. I think he's at Sevilla right now. Actually, I'm pretty sure
he used to be at Real Madrid.
Correct. Yeah. So yeah, Junior Firpo is the big headliner for Dominican Republic this month. He's legitimately there. I saw pictures of him from the Federation account today. So this is happening.
I'm excited, and it's interesting, you know, looking at the schedule for World Cup qualifying for the second round I think you're getting most of the teams, right? You're getting 30 CONCACAF teams playing in the second round. Like, that's it. You have the teams that have qualified, and you have these 30 teams. And only the top two from each group are going to advance to the third round. Being paired with Jamaica and Guatemala is not easy at all. That is probably one of the worst draws I think you could get. Yeah. Just being honest, I think Guatemala was the strongest team in pot two. You have Costa Rica and Panama in pot one that probably, I think at this point, are a little stronger than Jamaica. But I think, you know, the way that Costa Rica is playing, you could argue that Jamaica's better. It's a brutal draw. And given only two teams are going to get through, I don't like that CONCACAF is only playing four games in this round. You're not getting a home and away with every team. And to make matters even worse for the Dominican Republic, they have to travel to both Jamaica and Guatemala. So they don't even get to play either of those two teams at home. So it's going to be a very daunting task for them. In June, they go to Jamaica. They host the playoff winner. That match at Jamaica is the match. Like, June 6, 2024, circle it on your calendar, Dominican Republic at Jamaica. It could put Jamaica in a real bind if the Dominican Republic wins that game. And that's it. Like, that's the one that's circled on the calendar. And, you know, you mentioned the FA trying to get Mariano in for June, and I don't blame them. That is the one you want to focus on. And I think that's it for them. Like, that really will make a big, big difference in whether they can advance in World Cup qualifying.
Yeah, it will. It's going to be freaking awesome. I think too, for Group D, you know, you got Panama, Nicaragua, and Guyana. Don't sleep on Guyana, right? Like, they're actually in the FIFA series. I think we're going to talk about them a little later this month. And, you know, I think they're building something that's pretty neat too. But we've seen Nicaragua perform really well in Nations League. You know, they are now going to be in League A for the next edition. Panama obviously is one of the teams that's definitely in the top tier of CONCACAF at the moment. And they have been for a while, to be fair. It just puts a lot of significance on this March window, because really for a lot of these, I don't want to say smaller, but I guess they kind of are, or, these nations that start qualifying in June, this is their last chance to really prepare. These games are significant for them, even though they're friendlies, because they're trying new things. They're seeing how players work together. They're seeing, they're seeing what tweaks and adjustments they may need to make. This is a big window for a lot of these teams.
You've definitely convinced me. I mean, I was not paying all that much attention to the friendlies, to be honest with you, with so much else going on. But it's a great point. It's you, I think, hit the nail on the head with a number of these teams. And, just for example, you've got St. Kitts and Nevis playing San Marino twice in San Marino, right? And you see on social media, like, is this going to be it? Is this going to be when San Marino can, finally break their winless streak? And you've got St. Kitts and Nevis, like, we've got Trinidad and Costa Rica, like, that we have to worry about. We're in the June window. We're going right to Costa Rica. And then, in the first game. So, I mean, they're not going to San Marino to just, let themselves become a note in a record book. There's a lot at stake at this point. I agree. And I think the friendlies for a lot of these teams are going to be really something to keep an eye on, because I think you're exactly right. And the way that the next round is structured, you have two matches in June of 2024, and then you have two matches in June of 2025, which is ridiculous. There's no reason that there should be a full calendar year between your first two games and your second two games. But you have no margin for error. Only the top two qualify, and you're only playing four games. So if you come out of this window with 0 or 1 point, I mean, you're pretty much done at that point. Mm-hmm. So it puts an extra emphasis on these matches in June, and teams know that they've got to be ready, and this is their chance to do it. So I'm going to have to pay more attention to the friendlies than I thought I would.
So two additional points. I just wanted to point out too that I think in terms of preparation, again, Dominican Republic has done a really good job. So they've got a friendly against Aruba. Okay. But they also are playing Peru in Lima, this window in a friendly, which I'm really looking forward to. And I'm hoping I have the ability to catch that somehow, because I think that'll be a really good game. You mentioned St. Kitts and Nevis, playing San Marino. So that's a really unique opportunity, and I'm very excited for what St. Kitts and Nevis decided to do, right? So obviously being in Europe, they took full advantage of that. They brought in, looking at it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So they brought in six new players, and all of them are European based. Most of them are based in the UK. I won't go through them, but you've got players who are playing at Aldershot, Notts County, right? You've got Kyle Kelly, he's playing at Liverpool, like the Liverpool. He's in the under 18 squad. So, a lot of young faces for St. Kitts, but these are players that maybe they're looking at building a future on. I mean, geez, he's in the academy for Liverpool, so he's gotta be decent, right?
You've continued to see more and more a lot of these Caribbean nations look to England and some of the lower leagues and youth squads and such. They're getting good traction, really recruiting. I feel like I think we've seen a lot of teams really just, I think the selling point is much better now. You have more teams qualifying for the World Cup, particularly from CONCACAF. You have the CONCACAF Nations League. You have CONCACAF feeding Copa America now also. There's a lot more than just the Gold Cup. And previously it was Gold Cup and, hey, you're not going to qualify for the World Cup. And, that's not the case. There are so many more opportunities now in CONCACAF that I think you're just seeing a lot of these teams getting much better traction, getting some guys to sign up for the national team.
Yeah, I would be remiss in that vein then if we didn't mention just quickly Curacao. I mean, man, we could go through all these different lists, but we don't have time for that. But I do want to give out a shout out to Curacao, because this is, you know, the Dick Advocaat era is beginning. And
I know you were excited about that.
Oh, I'm so excited about it. Like I'm still geeking out about it. I can hardly believe it. And he's pulled in a really good coaching squad with him, as you would probably expect. I think the one caveat, the one disappointing thing is so that they're in Turkey this break, and unfortunately all they could pull was two friendlies against club teams. So they're playing Hull City, and the other team that they're playing is escaping me at the moment. But it's a little disappointing to be, you know, to bring everybody into Turkey and to not be able to find, you know, another national team. I know there's other national teams that are in Turkey. And it is the start of something that I think is really good, though. It's the reason for it is it's a sponsorship trip. So one of the big sponsors for the Federation of Curacao is funding this trip, basically. You know, they I think they have ties with Hull City somehow, and maybe who the other club is, I can't remember, but yeah. So some names for Curacao that have been brought in, really just two, there's only two, but they're big, are Johnny Martha from Ajax. So he has regularly been on the bench for Ajax. Obviously, Ajax being one of the bigger clubs in the Netherlands, they're having a disappointing season this year. I think that's been well documented, but they're still a very good side. And they have advanced in Europe. They're still in Europe. So, or at least I think, I'm pretty sure they are. Or did they get, they may have just gotten knocked out
this week.
Yeah, I think they just got bounced
this past week.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Anyways, he's definitely one to watch, one for the future also. He's still very young. And then Ravian Rosario, who's playing at Sparta Rotterdam. It's good to see him get called in. And there's a lot of rumors around the Curacao team right now that are floating out around there in terms of players that are coming. And, you know, some of them are some big names that people will have heard of. And so it'll be exciting. I'm definitely going to be keeping an eye on them. There's one other piece with Curacao too. So I think when we talked initially about the FIFA series, I'll just mention this now and we don't have to mention it later, but it was rumored that Curacao is going to be in the same group that Bermuda is in now. Yes. for this edition. And so I have a little bit of information about that. So some sources that I have close to the matter did confirm that Curacao was a nation that was considered, but they never actually confirmed their participation officially. So they were in and around the conversations, but I think in the end, they never really were going to be there. I think FIFA wanted them there, but I think with their sponsorship commitments, that's why they didn't end up being in the FIFA series this time around. So,
good info. A couple others I just wanted to mention quickly. I know, you know, you've got also, by the way, may as well plug now, follow the pod account on Twitter at window INTL pod. Joe is the best I have ever seen in finding squads, new players. He's been pumping out squads nonstop, and great. Like, you can find anything there. He's done a phenomenal job. So I just want to, you know, shout out Joe for doing such a great job there. Lots of squads. And new players, and definitely great insight, because a lot of teams that, you know, have opportunities in their squads and have been a little bit off the radar, that could be players. And I wanted to just mention a few names just for you to keep an eye on, Joe, more than, you know, and our listeners as well. But a couple teams that I'm keeping an eye on. Aruba's one of them. I would that match between Aruba and Dominican Republic, I think it's just as big for Aruba. I think Group C is wide open after Haiti. Curacao is one that I think will be interesting to see. They've not been super, super strong recently. But with St. Lucia, Barbados, and Aruba, my numbers actually like Aruba a pretty decent amount. So they're a team that I'm going to be keeping an eye on. So I know that they've got a lot of new players this window.
They do. Yeah, they absolutely do. I think probably the biggest one would be Angelo Matilda. He's playing at Kazakhian Boys in the Netherlands.
Household name.
A household name, right? They're like, I think they're like division. They're like in the third tier of Aruba, I think. I don't think they're in the, Eerste Divisie, which is the second tier. But anyways, yeah. So,
heard Kazakhian Boys before.
Yeah. So they, yeah, Aruba's doing some good things. Lots of players. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, yeah. eight different players. I mean, that's quite a bit.
Lot. Yeah. It's a lot. So I would keep an eye on them for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another one I just wanted to mention quickly, which I actually do not see on your list, is Puerto Rico. They're a team for me that I think they've played really well recently. They've scored goals. They haven't played the best competition. El Salvador and Suriname is tough, but it's not insurmountable, in my opinion. So Puerto Rico is a team that I'm definitely keeping an eye on in Group F as one that could surprise and advance. And then Cuba is the other team that I'm also keeping an eye on that I think has played pretty well. Has been a bit up and down, but those are two teams that I think definitely just keep an eye on as we head into the June window.
So you'll probably be able to see the Puerto Rico update tomorrow. I haven't gotten to it yet.
Fine. We'll let you off the hook on that one.
But my understanding is that there's actually quite a few of their under 23 players who have been brought into the squad this time. So I think there's a fresh amount of new faces for them.
Yeah,
so,
and they're gonna face Belize twice. And I actually think they're gonna do pretty well against Belize.
I do too.
I think they're a stronger team. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do. And then Cuba's actually got an interesting matchup. They're playing in Nicaragua. And that's a really strong team. And I think that's really going to be a great indicator, because I think if they can get a result against Nicaragua, I think Cuba should be feeling really good about getting out of Group A.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned El Salvador just briefly. So there's this kid. I think he's like 19, maybe. His name is Nathan Ordaz, and this is his first call up for El Salvador in this window. He plays for LAFC in Major League Soccer. He's definitely one to keep an eye on. He's a very talented player. He's already getting some minutes with LAFC. Again, very young. So I think there's some excitement there for them. The El Salvador is kind of in a weird spot right now. Like they can't really decide if they're going to be in like the top tier or the second tier, so to speak, of CONCACAF at the moment. So
yeah. Interesting to watch. And then one dark horse I will throw out in the last one, and then we can move on to CONCACAF.
Wait, let me guess. Can I guess?
You can. I don't think you're going to get it.
Suriname.
No, it is not Suriname.
Oh, okay.
That was a good guess. Montserrat, actually.
Oh, Montserrat.
They're a team that I think had some success. They've fallen back a little bit. They are a team that probably, I can't imagine the celebrations when they saw the draw and El Salvador was not in the group.
Yeah.
They just have not been able to get away from El Salvador. I think they have to like the draw they got. I mean, Panama, of course, is not ideal, but I think Panama is so much head and shoulders above the rest of the teams in Group D. I think it's not going to matter. I think it's really going to come down to that second spot, looking at Nicaragua, Guyana, and Montserrat. And, Montserrat, I would say, of those three teams is probably the least likely to finish second. But I don't think Montserrat's overly intimidated by Nicaragua or Guyana. I know Guyana has played well more recently. Nicaragua's also been tough, and they did quote unquote qualify for the Gold Cup last summer. But I think Montserrat's going to like this draw. I think they're going to feel like they've got a chance in this group, and they're at Nicaragua in June. They're hosting Panama. It's not easy, but definitely a team that's their prep. They're thinking about those matches that are coming up in June, and they're not playing this window, but I know that Montserrat has in the past few years gotten a lot of British players to really, bring them back from relative obscurity.
Nice. Can I throw one more?
Yes.
It's going to be Suriname. Okay. Because they're, again, another nation that is really reaching far and wide into, dual nats and sort of things like that, right? And so this window, they brought in Radinho Balker. He's playing at Huddersfield. That's a really good addition to their team. Justin Longbeek at Fortuna Sittard in the Eredivisie in the Netherlands, another really good addition. There were some more. Jaden Montenor, Aris Limassol. I won't go into all of them, but there are a few who were so, as it happens, there was an initial list that went out from Suriname, and then it got redacted like an hour or two after it went out, right? And there were some serious names on that. So Liam van Gelderen is one of them. He's at Groningen. You've got Shiloh Tezand at Dordrecht. Those are both teams in the Netherlands, by the way.
Yeah.
And then I think one that got a lot of people hyped up was Che Nunley at Heerenveen. And so my understanding is that these players are actually committed to Suriname. There was paperwork issues. So I would expect to see them in June. So Suriname, I think they have a really good shot at reaching 2026. I do, because you've also got Dylan Venti at Hibernians. I can never say that. Hibs, just call it Hibs, in Scotland. And there were a lot of Scottish people on our going after us on our Twitter. Like, wait, what? Like, how is he, how does he have the connection? Right.
Yeah.
But
they weren't apparently criticizing your pronunciation.
Huh?
They weren't criticizing your pronunciation.
Oh, well, they will now. But yeah, so Suriname, keep your eyes on Suriname.
I'm excited for Suriname. They're a team that I've been lower on in the past, and people have been very high on Suriname. I'm not there yet, but they've just added so many names that it's at some point you've got to imagine it's the scales are going to start tipping, and it's like, all right, we've really, like, they've added so many players that. Yeah. You did not expect to be playing for Suriname. And, in the very near future, you're going to look at their roster and go, wow, that is a very, very strong team. Yep. Just haven't seen the results yet. I think it's only a matter of time at this point. And, from their group, I think they've got to feel like they're going to get out of that group and get to the next round. And, to be among the final 12, I think I agree. I think they have a very realistic shot at getting to the World Cup. So I think that's their selling point.
Yes. Yes. And I guess the last piece on them is one of the things that may have been holding them back is maybe their coaching. And I know that there's been, they just got a new coach appointed, and I know there's been a little bit of disappointment surrounding him. Like I'm pretty sure he coached the team in the past, and so they're bringing him back again. and so I know just from some comments that I've seen, some people are kind of like ho-hum about it, right? So we'll see. We'll see where it ends up going. Maybe he's got a better team to work with this time around, and maybe things will be different, but yeah.
I think for June, we could probably have a whole CONCACAF show.
I know. We're well on our way to it in this episode.
I know. We haven't even talked about any of the actual meaningful matches that are taking place in CONCACAF.
All right, let's do it. Let's rock it.
Let's do it. So As we're talking about the World Cup and talking about some of these groups, two of the spots in the group stage are still to be determined. You've got the U.S. Virgin Islands against the British Virgin Islands. You've got Anguilla versus Turks and Caicos. These matches will be played this window, and two teams will progress to the group stage while two will be eliminated from World Cup qualifying. Who do you like out of these two matchups to advance to the group stage?
I don't know. It's a good question.
I've got a table of numbers in front of me, so I feel like I'm cheating a little bit.
Yeah, you might be. I think the Turks and Caicos Anguilla one is a little bit easier. I would say Turks and Caicos.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, the Anguilla squad, so there was nobody new in that squad for this window. It's very experienced. In fact, there's actually a player on that team who's also the director of a club called Uprising, which is based here in the United States. And so it's kind of an interesting storyline that he's also playing for Anguilla while being the CEO of this club here. Anyways, so I'd say Turks and Caicos for between British Virgin Islands and the U.S. Virgin Islands. I don't know. I mean, I've watched both those teams, but I could not differentiate between the two of them. I know that sounds horrible. So what do you got?
Yeah, so I think I like the Turks and Caicos. I've got Anguilla as the lowest ranked team in CONCACAF. But I think all four of these teams, I've also, similar to the FIFA rankings, have these as the bottom four teams in CONCACAF. So as I mentioned before, while I have been critical of the FIFA rankings, I do think on occasion they get it right. And to me, this is the right bottom four. I do like the Turks and Caicos. We could be seeing one of those historic performances from Billy Forbes. Billy, come on the podcast. We'd love to talk to you. He is their guy. And I think you'll see him carry the Turks and Caicos to the next round. Between BVI and USVI, I do like what British Virgin Islands have shown. They, for many, many years, were one of the worst teams, if not the worst team in CONCACAF, and are, all due respect, one of the lowest ranked teams in the world. They've gotten some better coaching, I would say. And I think that they've shown a little more recently that they're starting to at least be a little bit more competitive. I think for them, the Nations League is a great vehicle. I think for all of these teams that are in League C in the CONCACAF Nations League, getting more matchups against teams that are more on your level and not just getting blown out is a good thing. So I think I've seen a little bit of progress from the British Virgin Islands. So I'll go with them to advance and alongside Turks and Caicos.
All right.
So that does it for World Cup qualifying. We'll have a lot more to come in June, of course, as we get into the first half of the group stage, the second round, whatever you want to call it, in CONCACAF. I'm sure we'll have more squad info and things changing, but definitely keep an eye on a number of these CONCACAF teams this window as they play friendlies and prepare for June. We've got... I'm going to start with the Nations League, the CONCACAF Nations League semifinals, and then finish up with the Copa America qualifier. So the CONCACAF Nations League is coming down to its semifinals. We've got the USA against Jamaica. We've got Panama against Mexico. Not a whole lot of additional information to add, really just the semifinals of the Nations League. We could potentially see another USA Mexico. What are your thoughts on these Nations League semifinals? For me, I'm not honestly super interested in them. I feel like there's so much else going on that's more important. I'm not super focused on the Nations League.
Yeah, I'm kind of there with you. I know CONCACAF is putting a lot of effort into trying to hype this up, you know, and I'm sure they would love a USA-Mexico final. But honestly, they've played each other so many times recently that I'm kind of over it at the moment.
Yeah.
I don't have a ton to add. I think it'd be great if, you know, if we could see Panama sneak into the final somehow. That would be really interesting. I mean, a Jamaica-Panama final, I would totally tune into that.
I think it's going to be a good test for both Jamaica and Panama this in the semifinals, because Jamaica is a team that's been on the rise. Panama especially has been a team that's played really well, and Mexico, I will just, you know, our listeners may not like this, they were placed in this semifinal by the officiating in CONCACAF. And
allegedly.
Allegedly. And, you know, I really feel like it should have been Honduras here. But it is what it is. But yeah, I'm curious. I don't know how seriously these teams are going to take these games. You know, is this an indicator for Jamaica if they're able to get a win? What does it mean for the U.S.? I don't think I'm going to take all that much away from this, but I do think it's a good opportunity for both Jamaica and Panama to assert themselves and take down the United States or Mexico and prove that they're going to qualify for 2026 and be competitive at the World Cup and not just be there because they expanded slots for CONCACAF.
So I do have a couple notes on Jamaica, I guess. So no Leon Bailey. He has been suspended by the Federation for this, actually, because he broke curfew in November. So he was not called in. So that's a bit of a blow for Jamaica, I think.
Yeah, I think that kind of tells you what you need to know about how these teams are considering it. Yeah. You know, if this is a World Cup qualifier, I don't think he's getting suspended.
Yeah, probably not. I will also say that so we had two interesting fights this window, at least so far, and at least so far that I found. One between Bolivia and Ghana, and one between Jamaica and England. So Bailey Catamartieri, who plays at Sheffield Wednesday, he has Jamaican ancestry, so he's eligible to play for Jamaica, but he's also eligible to play for England. And he was called into the England under-19s, and he was called into the Jamaica squad. So unfortunately for Jamaica, he ultimately ended up going with the England U19s in this window. But that might be something to keep an eye on. I'm not sure that his mind has been completely made up yet. So just wanted to point that out.
Who do you like to win the foursome and win this edition of the Nations League?
I'm going with the United States. I think that they are the strongest team out of the four. So I'll take the USA to beat Jamaica. I will take Mexico to beat Panama. And it's a USA-Mexico final, and I'll take the United States to win that game. And I also think that the manager for the United States is out of his mind for not calling in Brendan Aaronson in the initial squad, and he totally should have been there. And he made it right by calling him in as a replacement for some injuries to Luca De La Torre and to Josh Sargent. So
he's there. I think I agree. And I got to say, you know, we don't want to spend all that much additional time, but I've watched a lot of Serie A this year, and I really think that the Americans that are playing in Italy have had a collectively pretty strong year. I think we're seeing a lot of American players, I think, have really good years around the world. So I'm encouraged, I think.
Except for Gio Reyna.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's not even go there.
And he's on loan at Forest, and you know,
we'll that see. Has to be the worst loan move ever.
It's crazy.
Okay.
But I mean, the squad itself is just so young, and there's so much talent flowing through the United States right now that I'm really optimistic about 2026. For me, you know, it's unfortunate. I feel like, you know, you're bringing such a strong squad for the CONCACAF Nations League, and like, they don't play Gold Cup. I guess, you know, the Copa America is going to be fun. I think, you know, seeing the American squad, this American squad at the Copa America is going to be fun because they're going to be playing against strong South American nations. So I like that they're doing that. I think it gives them more opportunity, but they're not playing qualifiers, right? So they were in world, you know, in Qatar in 2022. Had they not added the Copa America for the United States, really you just have this Nations League and that's it until 2026, and that's not good.
So
I'm glad that they're doing more, getting some CONCACAF teams involved in Copa America. I think that's going to be a big help and just really help continue to develop the team, because if they're not playing meaningful matches, you get to a World Cup and you know, it's hard to all of a sudden turn it on and just be cohesive and play at your best.
Yeah. I feel kind of bad. I'm not trying to dog on Mexico. Yeah. I'm not trying to dog on Mexico. I just, the US Mexico final is, I don't know. So that being said, I kind of want to talk about Panama, because Panama has been playing really well recently.
They have.
And, they have. Maybe they'll have something to say this time.
I think Panama can definitely beat Mexico.
I do too. Yep. That would be so interesting, and I would love to see it. I mean, Panama has been making strides, and this might be a reward for their efforts. Who knows?
Yep. So. And then speaking of Copa America, that's the rest of CONCACAF. So the four teams that are in the Nations League final won in November and qualified for the Copa America. We've got four more teams qualifying for the last two spots in Copa America. So you have Canada against Trinidad and Tobago. You've got Costa Rica against Honduras. The two winners of those ties will also qualify for the Copa America to make it a 16-team field. Both interesting matchups. I think I like Canada and Costa Rica, but I'm not certain about that. Honduras has been playing well, and Costa Rica has really not. And Canada also, it feels like they've stalled and taken a bit of a step back since the World Cup. And even, you know, heading into the World Cup, I think they had cooled off a little bit. So how are you feeling about both of these matchups in CONCACAF?
Yeah, so I think you should definitely like Canada, although the Canada squad this month has been really interesting. So no Milan Borjan, the goalkeeper, no Steven Vitoria, the defender, no Sam Adekugbe, defender, no Richie Larea, defender, no Jonathan Osorio, no Junior Hoylett, no Mark Anthony Kay. Like, there have been some serious like changes to this Canada squad. So how that is all going to come together is going to be really interesting to see. Obviously, Alphonso Davies is going to lead the defense, but I think he's partnered well with Alistair Johnston at Celtic and Derek Cornelius at Malmo. And then you've also got this 18-year-old kid, Luke de Figueroles, who's playing at Fulham. He's made a couple bench appearances for the first team, and then he also is playing in the academy. And then up front, obviously, you have one of the best strikers in Europe in Jonathan David, who continues to perform week in and week out for Lille. So that's also good to have. They brought back Theo Bear, who's playing at Motherwell in Scotland. He's only got two caps to his name, but he's having a really good season in Scotland. Very surprising to a lot of people, including myself, how well that's going on. And then, of course, Tejon Buchanan, right? And Kyle Aaron. So, yeah, I like what Trinidad is doing, but I don't think they're going to be able to get past Canada. I think it's a little surprising that Canada's there in the first place. At least I think it was surprising to a lot of people, and we've kind of already covered that, so won't go too much into it. But so going with Canada, and then in terms of Honduras, Costa Rica, I'm a little worried about Honduras this window. Luis Palma picked up an injury recently. He's not there. Obviously they don't have Albert Ellis because of his severe head injuries that he's dealing with. So yeah, that leaves them, in my opinion, that leaves them a little thin up top. And Costa Rica has not impressed of late.
Yeah.
But I think they'll be able to get past this Honduras side.
Yeah. I think I agree.
Yeah.
And I think Costa Rica also, they're probably going to be one of the weakest teams at Copa America, if not the weakest. I think you could argue Bolivia's in that mix. But I think with the exception of Bolivia, I think the rest of the South American teams are stronger than Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. So I don't really expect a whole lot from them. And I think, you know, they're probably going to be in some difficult shape should they qualify. But I agree. I think they probably have enough to get by Honduras and ultimately qualify.
Yeah. All right, that was CONCACAF.
Wow. busy time in CONCACAF, a lot going on. I'm excited for the World Cup qualifiers in June. I think it's going to be a really exciting time. I think you're going to see some surprises. And given that the groups are only four games, I think you can see some real surprises. So very much looking forward to that.
My hope is everybody's coming off the end of their season.
Yep.
Well, I guess in CONCACAF, maybe not necessarily, because there's quite a few MLS based players, right? Or USA based players. But, you know, I just hope it's relatively injury free.
Yes. Agreed. Agreed. All right. So I'm actually, I'm going to switch up the order a little bit on the agenda. Sure. And get through a couple of these confederations quickly, and then finish up with the AFC World Cup qualifiers, because there's a lot going on there. So AFCON 2023 was going on in January. A great tournament. Ivory Coast crowned champions as hosts, of course. And while that was going on, they said, hey, let's draw and start the next cycle already. And so the 2025 AFCON preliminary round was drawn, and those matches are going to be played this window in March, and get that going again. So, you know, the prior cycle had barely concluded and we're already into the next. So four matchups are taking place in March. We've got Somalia against Eswatini, Sao Tome and Principe against South Sudan, Chad against Mauritius, and Djibouti against Liberia. I think there's some lopsided matchups here.
I think
frankly.
So too. Yeah.
and especially looking at the first one, Somalia against Eswatini, like I think Somalia's got no chance in this. Like, yeah. They are one of the worst, if not the worst, teams in Africa. And I think Eswatini is like mid calf, like, you know, maybe top 30-ish. I think that is going to be a blowout. And I think Somalia is going to get knocked out pretty quickly. What else are you keeping an eye on here? Anything that you think either, you know, pretty sizable towards one side, or a pretty competitive match between the two?
I think South Sudan is going to kind of steamroll Sao Tome and Principe.
I agree with that as well. That was the other one I was looking at.
Yeah, I think that one's pretty clear. Chad Mauritius is interesting. I would probably take Chad in that one. Mm-hmm. And then Djibouti, Liberia. The Liberia squad is really weird this window. Like, it's definitely not their top like A squad, I guess, mm-hmm. if you want to call it that, right? Like I felt like there were some key players missing, right? So like Oscar Dorley, he is there, but you know, there are some other players that are playing well and playing in Europe that I felt like probably could have been in the squad, but maybe they felt like this is going to be a bit of a cakewalk. I don't know. I mean, I'm not dissing on Djibouti, but yeah. You know, I think that is definitely in favor of Liberia.
Yeah, my numbers don't disagree that it's in favor of Liberia, but not by all that much. Mm. I'm curious to see what happens with that one. Djibouti is not a pushover. I think they're not a super strong team, but I don't think I've seen anything from Liberia that indicates they're in some higher class. You know, I'm looking back at their results over the last 3 years. They've got 3 wins, 3 draws, and 17 losses. So not really a great record. And yes, they've had a difficult schedule, but I think that one might end up being a little bit closer than people expect.
What is your take on Chad Mauritius?
I'm a little uncertain. I think Chad is a team that we didn't see for a very, very long time. They have played very few matches. Yeah. They haven't won a match since October 2019. So 4.5 years since their last win, and their last win before that game was November 2015. So Chad has legitimately won one match in the last 8 years. that is shocking.
Yeah.
Mauritius, I cannot say the same. They've won recently. They defeated the Seychelles. They defeated Comoros. They actually picked up a win against Angola last July. Yes, it was not the AA squad of Angola. I believe it was in the COSAFA Cup. But I think Mauritius has at least shown some ability to win matches and play matches. So I think just based on the experience that they've had, I'll probably lean a little bit towards Mauritius, but I Chad's got some good talent. Like that's the thing that I think there are issues just scheduling matches, getting organized, etc. There's some decent talent on the Chad roster, and I just feel like they haven't had the opportunities to qualify or just kind of get it all together.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's fair.
So that's the AFCON preliminary round. That's really all we know at this point. There hasn't been a draw conducted for anything subsequent to the preliminary round at this point. So more to come there, but that is going down in Africa this month. One of the other smaller things going on in Confederations is in Oceania.
Hold on, let me interject before we move to Oceania. So just two really quick squad notes from coming out of Africa. So massive news for Morocco.
Oh, yes. I apologize. I can't believe I blew past that.
Yeah, no worries. There we go. So they've brought in 4 incredibly solid additions, with probably the best one being Brahim Diaz from Real Madrid, who has decided to not play for Spain and play for Morocco, which is incredible. And if you've seen any of the videos that have come out today and I think maybe yesterday when he landed, I mean, there were kids there wanting his autograph. Like everybody's just been
adults crying.
Yeah. So it's incredible. Funny enough, there's actually another Real Madrid player, although I think he's playing in the academy system right now, but he's made some bench appearances for Real Madrid, if I'm not mistaken, maybe even gotten a couple minutes. I was looking at this a couple days ago and it's escaping me exactly what it is, but or like how much he's played. But Youssef Lekedim, has been called up as well. So two Real Madrid players coming in. You've got Ilias Akhomach from Villarreal and then Elise Benseguir from Monaco. So both of those players, two really good additions also. So yeah, Morocco making some big waves this window. The other thing, I mean, we could spend a lot of time on Africa, but I'm not. If you want to know the exciting call-ups from this window for teams like Senegal, Togo, Kenya, Comoros, just you can head to our
Zimbabwe
Twitter account, look that up. But the other note I wanted to point out is Ghana, actually. So they have decided that they're going to go with Otto Addo, who, if you remember correctly, was head coach briefly as like an interim basis, I think. Or maybe he was the assistant coach before for Ghana. It was one of those two. Anyways, they brought him in as the head coach full time now. So, excuse me. That is who Ghana has decided to go with. We'll have to see if it really pans out. He's made some interesting decisions already. Bringing in Ibrahim Osman from Norgeland, that's a really good addition. Nathaniel Adjei from Lorient, that's also a very good addition. And then Mohamed Diamande is quite the story. So he's a Norgeland player, came through the Right to Dream Academy, which is well connected with Norgeland, right? And they just got a new MLS franchise in San Diego that will be starting next year. But he's playing at Rangers in Scotland right now, but he's appeared for the Ivory Coast under 23s on multiple occasions. And if I had to guess, so Otto has been one of the assistant coaches at FC Norgeland in the recent past. So he knows Mohamed Diamande, and this is a really talented player. This is a player that Ivory Coast probably should have called up before now, but they didn't. And so Otto's coming in and pulling a fast one, and he's got Diamande in camp this time around. So it's not going to officially cap tie him to Ghana. So one to keep an eye on, I think, but that's kind of an interesting story that's taken place. So
absolutely.
Last piece, we were maybe going to talk about this later, but I'm going to talk about it now since we're on Ghana. So there is a goalkeeper who has lived in Bolivia for the last, I don't know how many years. He's playing for Aurora, which is a club in the top tier in Bolivia. And he's consistently been one of the better goalkeepers in the Bolivian league. His name is David Acologo. He recently received citizenship or a passport for Bolivia, and then became eligible to play for the Bolivian national team. So Bolivia saw this and they called him up. And Ghana saw this and they called him up too. So he appeared on both rosters in this window. He is in the Bolivia camp. Bolivia is participating in the FIFA series in this window. You know, there were big celebrations with him and his family when Bolivia called him up. Did not see the same reciprocated when the news came out Sunday night that Ghana had called him up. So it looks like he's chosen Bolivia. He was born in Accra, but is going to play for his adopted country.
Very cool. That is the rare dual Ghanaian Bolivian. You don't see that very often.
Don't see that.
But yeah, I mean, I think Bolivia probably needs more than Ghana does, just to be honest. But
yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool story, and just funny when you're in one window and the same player is called up to two different national teams. That is not something that happens every day. It happens, but always interesting. So,
and the timing cool of story. It is the timing of it was weird too. It's almost like Ghana just last minute threw him on their roster because they're like, think so "Oh, too. Oh, I you know. Mean you're actually like good."
Yeah, like, keep them warm, keep them warm. Oh, yeah. Actually, somebody else wants you. Now let's make an offer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move to OFC.
Let's move to OFC. We're going to spend very, very little time on OFC. So the OFC Nations Cup is coming up in June. Seven of the eight spots are known. One spot is up for grabs. So Tonga, Samoa, and the Cook Islands are competing this window for one spot at the OFC Nations Cup. Any picks among these three teams?
Honestly, OFC is very new to me, minus New Zealand. So I could not pick between these. My gut tells me it's probably going to be one of Tonga or Samoa, but I truly have no idea.
Yeah.
I guess so the Nations Cup is kind of like the equivalent of the Euros, but for Oceania, right? Whereas Euros is for UEFA. So all these games, there's three matches: Tonga, Samoa, Samoa, Cook Islands, Cook Islands, Tonga, right? They each play each other. And then it's kind of like a group, right? And you get, obviously, 3 points for a win, 1 point for a draw, nothing for a loss. And then whoever comes out on top is going to advance into the Nations Cup. So you can watch all these games on FIFA Plus for free starting tomorrow, Tuesday. For us, it's at 9 o'clock at night. I don't know what time that will be for you, but it's on FIFA Plus. If you can catch it, might be interesting. I cannot guarantee what sort of level these are going to be. So I'll just preface it with that. This will be
fact that we've got live streams coming from Tonga is awesome.
It's awesome. Yeah. I'm definitely going to try to tune in. This will really be my first time watching either of these two teams. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. These teams played some matches in November. I forget which tournament that was, but there were a lot of matches in November played amongst OFC teams. Among these three, I think Samoa probably looked the best to me. I mean, they blew out American Samoa 10-0. American Samoa got beat up on pretty good in November. But Samoa was competitive. They only lost 2-1 to Tahiti and 1-0 to Solomon Islands. So I think pretty solid results. So they'll be my pick coming out of this, but I don't think there's a whole lot separating these three teams.
Yeah.
All right. So that is it for the OFC Nations Cup. And I think next, just given your excitement about FIFA Plus, there's some more games on FIFA Plus this window, I've heard.
Yes, indeed. The entire FIFA series is going to be broadcast on FIFA Plus. So this is the set of friendlies that FIFA has put together as part of their recent initiative to bring nations who are not getting a ton of games some more competition, right? So we're talking a lot about your lower tiers, but as it turns out, you know, there's actually a fair mix, right? You got Algeria in here, you got Egypt, yeah. You got Croatia, you got Cape Verde, you've got, you know, Equatorial Guinea, right? Yeah. Both those teams perform well at AFCON. You've got
Guyana's playing well.
You got Central African Republic in here. You've got and then you've got kind of the flip side of that, right? You've got your, I don't want to call them bottom dwellers, but we'll just go with that for now, right? So Mongolia, for example, right? They're not in the next round of qualifying for Asia. They got bounced out in the first round. You've got Cambodia, same thing. Sri Lanka, Bhutan, right? OFC, you've got Vanuatu in here. You've got Papua New Guinea.
Yeah.
You know, Bermuda's there. Brunei, right? So this is, you know, this is something that some feedback that FIFA's had, that they need, like, these nations, some of these smaller nations need better opportunities to play meaningful games. And the FIFA series has been designed to do that. It is interesting, you know, some of these squads, as I've kind of combed through them, you know, you can tell that they've kind of toned them down slightly. So I'll use Cape Verde as an example, right? So their squad was released today and it had a healthy mix of some of the players that we saw at AFCON, And then it had some players that we haven't seen for Cape Verde in a while that were not included in the AFCON squad. And then there was like two or three new faces. So, you know, it's not necessarily their strongest squad, but it's an opportunity for them to try out some new things, right? And so I think that's the advantage here. It's like, you know, you use this as an opportunity to bring in some new players, see what they can do, where the smaller nations are bringing in maybe their strongest squad possible to try to put their best foot forward here and get the experience. So
yeah, I like the idea. I think, you know, for fans of the international game, when news of this broke, you're seeing some of these matchups and going, this is amazing. you mentioned Mongolia, like, wow, Azerbaijan and Mongolia paired together, Vanuatu and Bermuda paired together. It's like, these are crazy pairings. The thing that I don't know, and, you know, I think we'll probably find out more information, and we've got more information since the last time we talked about it, but I'm not sure how the hosts and the pairings and who's involved was determined, because there are a couple that stick out to me, and really, I think more than any, like, Guinea is the one that doesn't make sense to me. And obviously, you know, the squad that they're bringing is not their squad. Like, it's not your top Guinea squad.
No.
So that one to me, you know, seeing them paired with Bermuda, Brunei, and Vanuatu, that one feels like an outlier. Mm-hmm. At their best, Guinea is far better than the other three teams in that pairing. Yeah. So that one, I'm a little uncertain about how that came about. And then the other one, which I've seen more chatter than I think any of these other pairings, and I'll ask, who do you think it is that I'm going to say I've seen more chatter about than anyone else in terms of surprise and who's there?
South Africa or Algeria?
It is not. So okay. Bulgaria, interestingly.
Oh, Bulgaria. Oh, really?
And Bulgaria has not been all that strong, and there's been a lot of turmoil in the Bulgarian Federation, and they're starting to build back. I've seen a lot of disappointment that Bulgaria is like their supporters for, like, you know, we've not been at the level that we expect from ourselves. I think they haven't performed all that strongly more recently. And with really the shift in their federation, they're expecting things to change. I've seen a lot of disappointment that they are playing against Azerbaijan, Mongolia, and Tanzania. I think their expectations for themselves are much higher. And that's the team that I've seen more than any just negativity towards the FIFA series. But I think it's just, I would like to learn more about how the pairings came about, how they're identifying teams to participate. Because it's a great idea, but you also want to tell teams, just like I think the Nations League has done. So very curious to learn more about how some of these came about.
Yeah. I think we should mention too briefly that there was, so the initially there were what, five FIFA series, but then there had always kind of been talk about maybe there being a sixth, but it kind of evolved into being like this Wins United Cup that was going to take place in the UAE. And apparently Wins United, as the big sponsor, did not, keep with the agreement. And so all four of the nations that were in that was Egypt, Croatia, Tunisia, and New Zealand, said, screw it, we're going to Egypt, we're moving our tournament. See you later.
Yeah.
And I think FIFA probably reached out to them and said, hey, like, would you just like to become part of the FIFA series? And so they did. And so that's kind of cool, actually. I approve of that, because now I get to watch those games.
Agreed. Adding TV rights is always a good thing.
Yeah. So just kind of interesting how that all came about. Like all four of the federations put out statements around about the same time saying, this is why we're pulling out of UAE. Like, we're going to move this to Egypt. It even had a different name. And then the next day it was part of the FIFA series. So there's clearly been a lot of changes with this group of four teams. And
I really like this. As I mentioned previously, selfishly for rankings purposes and getting more matches against other confederations. But I think the other benefit of having these cross confederation groups and FIFA series pairings, you get a better sense of where you stack up around the world. And I think many of these teams, for good reason, are very focused on where they stand within their own confederation. When you're trying to qualify, that's who you're competing against. You're not really competing against a lot of these other confederations, with the exception of the World Cup, when it comes to meaningful competition. And I think you look at a team like a Mongolia or a Tanzania or an Azerbaijan. Like, Azerbaijan might think they're better than Mongolia, Tanzania, but they don't play against those teams, and those confederations don't play against each other. And I think it's a good test and a check to see, like, where do we really stack up? Are we as good as some of these teams around the world? Are we better? Are we worse? Because I think it could also just change your perspective a bit, in that maybe things are going better than you think they are. Maybe things are going worse than you think they are. And getting some matches outside of your own confederation in a somewhat meaningful setting. It's still a friendly competition, of course, but I think it's good for those teams to really just get a sense of where they stand.
Yeah, I agree.
So very much looking forward to the FIFA series. It sounds like, from what I've heard, they're doing this every 2 years. So it seems like they're doing this now, and then we're not going to see it again until March of 2026.
That is accurate.
I hope that they do it a little bit more frequently than that. that's what's in place now. But obviously it makes it hard. Next March, most confederations are going to be in World Cup qualifying. But maybe they start to look at who's eliminated and try to get them meaningful matches also. So we will see.